talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And right now we're in the fifth day of the debt limit having been reached. Last Thursday, we hit the debt limit. Can't get in any more money. And everybody goes, okay, Matt, so what? Yawn, yawn. Well, no, don't yawn so soon. Let me tell you some things that have happened already and some other things are going to happen. And we're going to limp along like this till June 5th. And if June 5th comes along and there is not some resolution of this, the Republicans continue to stonewall, they will shut down the government with China threatening Taiwan, Commie Ruskies threatening Ukraine. It's incomprehensible that our country should shut down. And I have some ideas on what Joe Biden can do to stop it. But let me just tell you what's happened in the last 5 days. First of all, they immediately floated the idea of the Biden administration and the Treasury Department casting a $1 trillion platinum coin. Just say $1 trillion on it, the first one in history and the only one in history. Give it to the Federal Reserves and say, all right, issue debt for $1 trillion so we can continue. I think that's crazy myself. What are you going to do with a $1 trillion coin? $1 trillion coin. Yeah, you go into a grocery store and give me change. Give me change. What the hell? $1 trillion. The point is, it's a fake deal to try to circumvent the Republicans. It's a fake deal because it can't be used. And who says that a $1 trillion coin should be platinum as opposed to gold or anything else? They'll just say $1 trillion United States. The reason for that trick that was proposed, it was not proposed by Joe Biden. It's been kicked around financial circles. The reason it was proposed was because there's a circumvention in the law. Whereas you recall in our previous discussions, Republicans have insisted on having two votes whenever they vote for an expenditure. One vote is for the expenditure. Oh, they want a new bridge in Alabama, do they? They want a new subsidy for somebody in Texas, do they? Oh, sure. The oil industry, whatever. But then they insist on another vote to say, well, do we really mean it enough to pay for it? Do we mean it enough to make good on the bonds that were issued in good faith and bought in good faith by people, including most of you, whether you know it or not, if you're part of a 401k, there will be some fixed income component to it. There will be some sort of governmental bonds in there. It's going to hit everybody in the country. So the second vote the Republicans won is, okay, we put it on our credit card, put stuff on your credit card. You go into a store, buy some clothing, you put it on a credit card. Bill comes about 3-4 weeks later. You don't get to vote and say, no, I'm not going to pay it. I'm going to enjoy the clothes, but I'm not going to pay the bill. That's what's happening. We are one of the few countries in the world that requires two votes. One, to nail down the appropriation, but number two, to actually pay for it once bonds are issued to pay for it. Well, the chickens are coming home to roost. McCarthy, now the speaker, because he has 5 or 6 sociopaths in the Republican caucus whom he agreed that any one of them can call for the speaker's dismissal, requires a vote. Every Democrat will vote for McCarthy's dismissal, and all it would take would be 5 Republicans, and you have the 5 sociopaths. Actually, more like 10 sociopaths, with 15 of them. So he thinks he's not a leader, so he just sucks up to him, puts him on all these committees. But Janet Yellen is a leader, and she is the Treasury Secretary, and here's what she's had to do because McCarthy did this. First of all, just today, she suspended full funding of federal employee retirement benefits. You're a federal employee. If you know a federal employee, I don't care who that person is. It can be a somebody who works in the U.S. Attorney's Office, a court reporter, a secretary. It can be a lawyer. It can be a clerk. It can be, you know, how many people, you know, you call the Social Security office and they talk to you and tell you what to do. They ain't getting their retirement benefits fully funded as of today. Let me tell you two things she had to do yesterday, or last week, I should say. Know anybody who is civil service? Separate fund from the Federal Employee Retirement Benefit Fund. Civil Service Retirement and Disability Fund. Anybody who's civil service, Fed? She suspended payments to their retirement and disability funds. Anybody who works for the Postal Service, how about anybody deliver mail to your house? See him, you know, you josh with them. Maybe they give you give them a Christmas present or something. Nice people. As of last week, Janet Yellen is no longer able to pay into their retiree health benefits because of McCarthy, because of the five sociopaths, because of the Republican Party. Now, let me tell you something. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States says, first of all, that the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be called into question. And once the Congress votes for an appropriation, I'm not saying they have to vote for it. I'm not asking them to vote for it. They already voted for it. They already voted for it. Once they do that, we issue bonds, Treasury bonds, to pay for it. And folks buy those bonds because it's the best debt in the world. What do I mean by that? That is the most likely to be repaid. It's ironclad up till now. That's the full faith and credit of the United States. We sold those bonds. It shall not be called into question by Kevin McCarthy or Matt Gaetz or Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, any of these other characters. But number two, the marvelous drafters of the 14th Amendment, and they were marvelous, stuck something else in there. The word pensions. It not only said that the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be questioned, but the payment of pensions, of course they meant federal pensions, should not be interfered with or in doubt. What do you think federal employee retirement benefits are? They're pensions. What do you think the Postal Service Retiree Health Fund is? It's part of their pension. What do you think the Civil Service Retirement and Disability Fund is? It's part of their pension. I've practiced law for a long time before I retired, and I'll tell you something. One of the most disgusting things I ever saw, some companies would come in that you'd have these sort of predator vulture companies. The first thing they do, they try to, when they take over some companies, I'm not saying every acquisition is this way, but on the vulture companies, they try to raid the employee pension funds. I knew one where they came in, they raided the blue collar pension fund, but not the white collar pension fund. That was disgusting. So what? The people that do a lot of the hard work get their pension funds taken? Not the white collar pension funds? That did happen. That went up and resolved somehow in the court system. The Teamster, the Midwest pension fund, in jeopardy, lost a lot of money. The government has to come in to bail it out. You can't tamper with pension funds. you shouldn't tamper with somebody's pension. They looked up their whole lives to this. You have the Republican Party forcing the Secretary of the Treasury to stop paying into them because there's no money to pay into them. And the idea of a $1 trillion platinum coin is a fake so that the Federal Reserve prints the money anyway, even though the Congress wouldn't authorize it, is a nutty idea. It's not a nutty idea, for Joe Biden to say, under my powers under the 14th Amendment, I am telling Congress to jump in the lake. We're not calling, the full faith and credit of the United States is not being called into question. And I am ordering the Federal Reserve as an executive order to pay these bonds. As we sell more bonds, to pay those. That he can do. And there will be people on the right in the Republican Party who attack him for it. So what? So what? They attack him for it. And it's going to go to court. And I'll tell you what, I go up to the Supreme Court. And if the six tarantulas try to stop him from doing it, at some point, he has to be like Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, Maryland Supreme Court, started issuing orders to him because that was a slave state, believe it or not, Maryland. Maryland was a sided with the South, at least culturally. They didn't end up doing it in terms of militarily. But told him to jump in the lake. He was ignore their orders. What would have happened with Lincoln if the South had gone to court and there was a pro-Southern, and there was, Supreme Court that said that the Civil War was unconstitutional, the South had the right to secede. You know what Abraham Lincoln would have done? He would have put him in prison. That's what he would have done. He was a good, strong president. Joe Biden's a strong president. And I think what you end up doing, what you got to do, is invoke the 14th Amendment. Because the Postal Service, Civil Service, federal employees, they go, well, we'll make up your pension sometime in the future. No. You don't grab a guy's pension when there's a constitutional amendment saying that that shouldn't happen, and then say you're going to deal with it in the future. No. Going to a quick break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. Tell them that God's going to cut you down. Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Andy.
I fully agree with you on invoking the 14th Amendment to counteract the stupidity in the Congress, in the House. I wonder how this... you remember the... They were trying to, like, put a big rock on the U.S. Postal Service by having to come up with the pension money for three quarters of a century or whatever, probably 10 whatever years ago it was, which put a burden. They had a, you know, that was on the overhead expense of the Postal Service. They had to, you know, have put this a more exorbitant amount of money in towards those long-term pensions. But I just don't, I don't know if Yellen would have picked these two things because they were the, you know, the most easy to get at or whatever, or what, as far as trying to avoid a problem with our ability to pay the bills. I don't know.
Well, but there's two separate issues, Andy, and you raise good ones. First of all, I want to address them both. First of all, Yellen has no choice. The money comes in. They can semi sort of fund the government. They can semi sort it between now and June 5th by pushing stuff around like this. But the fact of the matter is that they would do that by basically they do that by just using tax revenues that come in. For instance, on April 15, there's going to be quarterly estimates. People are going to bring them in. People are paying late. Sometimes people are late, and there's always money coming in. It's just not enough to run the government, but she does what she can. But other than that, what are you going to do? Not pay the Army? Not pay the Marine Corps? I mean, really, what are you going to do? Not man our nuclear weapons? I mean, you know, we'd lose a country. That's number one. So what's happening is by June, I think it's 5th, actuarially, we're not going to have enough money coming in to fund hardly anything. This is a very serious thing that these people are doing, and Joe's going to have to take executive action. Number two, what you were referring to in the post office is an interesting point, and I want to give the history of it. The Republicans in Congress, when they controlled everything under Bush, passed a law that said the Postal Service has to fully fund, pre-fund the pension obligations for 70 years, 7-0. There's no company in the country that does that or has the ability to do that. Then when the Postal Service says, so we're not going to get that just from postage, we want some money from Congress to do it. Congress is trying to starve the post office, the Republicans. Why is that? Because they favor privatizing delivery. They favor UPS and FedEx. And an interesting fact that I will share with you that most people don't know, the guy that started FedEx was a Yale classmate of George W. Bush in 1968, Yale class of 1968. They were both in a secret society called Skull and Bones. When I say secret society, I just mean it's a fraternity. In the 19th century, every fraternity was called a secret society. At Yale, they still call them secret societies, even though they're basically just fraternities. And so, but they were like frat brothers in college, and that guy founded and owns FedEx. FedEx does not have to fund its pensions for 70 years or any years. Neither does UPS. The Republican Party wants to phase out the post office and privatize. The problem with that is, believe it or not, the word post office is in the U.S. Constitution. The government constitutionally is obligated to maintain a post office. Republicans are trying to get around that by starving it so bad it falls apart. And the only thing that saved it is occasionally the Democrats are in power and do what they can. So there you have that. Let me tell you something else. The objective of the Republican Party is to get rid of Social Security and Medicare. I've told you that before. You know that. They opposed Social Security in 1935 when Roosevelt pushed it through. And then the U.S. Supreme Court had, Republican Supreme Court had invalidated the entire New Deal, said that it was unconstitutional. That's what they did. Roosevelt threatened to pack the court, put another 7 or 9 justices on there. They got scared. A guy named Owen Roberts flipped, and 5-4, the Supreme Court said Social Security was constitutional. But that's not graven in stone. You get another Supreme Court like this one, they could change that. But more to the point, they're not going to change, they're going to starve it. That's the way they're doing it. Joe Manchin has come up with an idea. Here's the idea. Right now, Social Security, the first $160,200 of income you have, you pay a 6.2% tax and nothing above that. But for Medicare, you pay a 1.4% tax no matter what your income is. His idea, which is, I think, a good one, although I think he has really hurt the Democratic Party in other ways, is increase the limit from 160. Why not increase it just like Medicare? You would be able to lower the tax for everybody, and it's something that they couldn't avoid the way they do income tax. I think that's a good idea that would fund it. He said 60% of the people in West Virginia, 6-0, rely, they have only Social Security and Medicare to live. And this clown Manchin, though, is busting Joe Biden's chops on so many other things, busting him on soft infrastructure, busting him on voting rights, wouldn't undo the filibuster for that one bill that would have gotten rid of gerrymandering and attacks on voting around the country. And the clown now is complaining, 60% of my West Virginians who vote for me only have Social Security and Medicare. Wah, wah, wah. Okay, the idea is a good one. Raise the tax, but they're trying to starve it. You must be vigilant about what the Republican Party is doing. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. I'm going to take you in order. Do not hang up. Stay on the line. We'll start with Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind?
Hey, Matt. I'm really interested in this approach by Manchin. This seems unexpected that he would be willing to court what has been just the best idea ever, which is simply raise the cap. I mean, the fact that people who are earning over, I believe it is $160,000, something around there, are not paying Social Security tax on what they earn over that. It's just, it's ridiculous. Just raise the cap. It would be, as he said, the easiest and the simplest way to advance, to just deal with this problem. And boy, I mean, the fact that he is saying that 60% of his people are relying on Social Security and Medicaid is a pretty strong statement about the importance of this program and the importance of making sure that it is funded. So I think this is a positive step that Manchin is saying this. Your thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Joe. I agree with 100%. You know, I get real irritated with Manchin. As you know, he stood in the way of voting rights and a lot of other things. But in this particular case, he's not doing it out of the goodness of his heart. He's doing it because he said 60%, 60, the folks in West Virginia, one of the poorest states in the country after Mississippi, only have Social Security and Medicare, only. It is so cruel of the Republican Party to think that they ultimately can get rid of those or privatize them. They are going to put old senior folks back the way they were in the 1920s and during the Depression, where, you know, they're eating cat food and they're living in a hut in the forest if they're lucky. And I think that's right. Right now, the ceiling on paying into Social Security is $160,200 a year. It's a 6.2% tax. So somebody making 40 grand a year is paying 6.2% tax. And what about a guy making $1 million a year? He skates on the last 840 grand of his income. That's not right. And if they taxed it on everybody, it could also reduce the percentage because there'd be more money coming in. Secondly, on Medicare right now, Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan worked out a deal in the early 80s, you may remember, 40 years ago, where to save Medicare, they 1.4%, and there's no limit on income. And that has really sustained Medicare. So, Joe, I'm with you 100% on that one. Thanks a lot for calling in. Steve in Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Steve? You're next.
Yeah, amen. Amen on what you previously said, but I was just calling because starting to lose hope in the Justice Department because it seems like justice delayed is justice denied. And all the things that Trump has gotten away with so far, I don't know what that Jack Smith is doing, but it seems like these Republican presidents get a lot of leeway. You had Mueller, who was a Republican, and you got Garland, who's got ties to the Republicans. They say Jack Smith is a Republican, so I'm just wondering what's going on.
That is a good. Let me respond to that. That's a very, very profound point. Well, Jack Smith was appointed by Trump, an assistant U.S. attorney in Tennessee, and Garland thinks he likes to be liked. The guy thinks, "Oh, I'm a Supreme." You know, he wishes he were a Supreme Court justice. And you know, I mean, look, when he first was announced as Attorney General, one of the first things he says is, I'm going to be independent. I'm not taking orders from Joe Biden. My reaction is, who the hell are you, Jack? You think Bobby Kennedy said that about Jack Kennedy? Like, I don't care about him? No, he didn't say that. How about Crooked William Barr, the Attorney General for Trump? He protected Trump. He didn't even appoint a special prosecutor over the Ukraine thing that resulted in the Ukraine impeachment. I am very disappointed with Garland. I think that Garland is weak. I think he's timid. I think he's frightened, and I think he's a political hack. And you're absolutely right about justice delayed is justice denied, because now they're doing their investigation all over. Trump's running for president, supposedly, although he's gotten extensions on having to file his financial return statements. And when you, what, indict a guy just as he's nominated in Milwaukee at the convention in 2024, how does that look to the world? They should have gone in earlier than that. How much do they need for, you know, everything he does on TV. He says to the Russians, if you're listening, hack into Hillary's emails. He says that. I would have indicted him for that. He goes, Raffensperger, there's a criminal consequence if you don't come up with 11,780 votes. I'd indict him for that. You don't need Fannie Willis, who's a very brave prosecutor in Atlanta, to do it. The guy ginned up all the fake electors. I prosecute him for that. You saw the speeches he made about the insurrection. Go up there and take back, you know, I prosecute him for that. Prosecute him. He is afraid. Garland is afraid, and Biden cannot fire him right now. Politically, in my view, can't fire him right now. So you're right. And I personally don't think that Garland will prosecute Trump. And it's going to be left to very brave prosecutors like Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor, is I'd have a grand jury look at that guy. He let Trump off when the prior prosecutors are about, and Cy Vance is about to prosecute him. Cy couldn't run for re-election because New York is just a mosh pit of identity politics. Couldn't do it. And this guy, Alvin Bragg, I think the guy's corrupt. He just walks away from anything that would hurt Trump. You know, yeah, he went after his CFO and gave him 5 months, plea bargain, 5 months. There's a bunch of people that went around and beat up Jewish people in who wore yarmulkes in Manhattan, and they'd go into restaurants, drag him out, and beat him up. No kidding. And he gave one of them a 5 month or 5 or 6 month plea bargain. This guy Alvin Bragg does not deserve to be a prosecutor. He's not going to go after Trump. They don't go after Trump. You're absolutely right. Thanks a lot. Next in line, we're going to go to Jean of Eau Claire. Everybody stay on the line. I'm going to get to all of you. Jean of Eau Claire, you're next. What's your mind today, Jean?
Hi, Matt. I don't care as long as they lock that son of a gun criminal up. I'm so sick of watching these people in the House. They should all be arrested, too, because they were all involved in the big lie. I'm sick of the guy that's on our election board. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. They wonder why people are depressed or they don't trust their government. It's this inaction, this taking our time when they committed crimes right in front of our eyes. I mean, we saw it. We saw what happened in Wisconsin. It's
amazing. Spindell is a fake elector, and Spindell, yeah. I'll tell you, I don't think Garland's going to prosecute him. They're none of the state attorneys general prosecuting these guys. You know, they go after the guys that went in there, crude guys that put their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk and shut their mouth off and all this. Yeah, okay, that's okay. But who ginned them up? Who ginned them up? Who was the leader of the movement? It was Donald Trump. He sent out a save the date card on social media. Come to Washington on January 6th. There's a lot going on. That was he that did it. He that did it. Indict him. Next up, Tom McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. And everybody else, hang on the line. I'm going to get to you all. Tom McFarland, you're next. I can't hear you, Tom. Could you take it off speaker and speak
up? Hi, Matt. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Okay, Tom, I can't hear you now. Say something. Okay, you're calling back. Next up is Pizza Box Mike, my friend. Thanks for calling us from my day, Pizza Box Mike.
Well, for the one caller, there's not the same kind of justice in this country. And it's pretty obvious when you see the people that were called to January 6th are being punished and held accountable, but the people that organized and brought them there aren't. But it's not just Republican legislators that are after Medicare and Social Security. You know, you have the Barrington Group that runs those commercials with Martha. Why don't you call in and try and get all this, you know, money back? And when it says it's a non-government entity, I don't think you want to get involved with Social Security or that kind of Medicare. and they're basically privatizing it. And so the AFL-CIO is teaming up with Anthem and just trying to move their members over to Medicare Advantage, which has obviously been a disadvantage to the people that have done it. They aren't being covered for a lot of the stuff. You got to watch out what's going on out there. It's just, these are vulture capitalism predators out there.
Pizza Box Mike, my friend, everybody out there should know Pizza Box Mike is my fellow host. Pizza Box Mike has a show on Saturdays calling Thinking Outside the Pizza Box, and it's no holds barred. And I'll tell you what, Saturday, they can't spend a finer hour at noon. Sit down with a cup of coffee, listen to on this this radio station, on this civic media network, Pizza Box Mike. He takes care of business. He takes care of business. Next, we're going to Mark of Sussex. Thanks for calling, Mark. What's on your mind today?
Thanks for taking my call. With all of these prosecution cases against Trump, and has it ever occurred to the Democrat Party that maybe they don't have enough to process him? You don't like Garland, you don't like Barr, you don't like this one, you don't like that one. Has it ever occurred to the Democrats that maybe they don't have enough information or they don't have enough truth against somebody to prosecute him?
Well, here's the way I'd look at it, Mark, and I appreciate your point of view. This station, my show, is open to all callers. I appreciate your calling. And I'll just tell you this. How about getting up in front of a crowd and saying, march on the Capitol? And how about when he's doing that, they say, well, some of these people have weapons. And he goes, well, they're not here to shoot me. How about that? And then how about calling Raffensperger of Georgia, saying, if you got to come up with 11,780 votes because you can be criminally prosecuted otherwise. How about that? That's called extortion. It's called extortion. And how about, I know that Biden has some classified documents and Pence has them. And Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, Republican, said all presidents have a couple of them as they leave because aides pack their boxes. How about Trump having 300 of them? And lying about it and refusing to give them back for 18 months, flying up to Bedminster. Some of them are having the nuclear capabilities of other countries. And we don't know everything that he has and who he's selling them to. How about that? That's plenty to go after him, in my judgment. Thanks for calling. Next one up, Walter of Watertown, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Walter?
Well, I wanted listeners to know that it was Orrin Hatch, I will repeat, it was Orrin Hatch who recommended Merrick Garland as a Supreme Court candidate to Barack Obama. That is very suspicious.
That's interesting. Yeah, you know, because Orrin Hatch, he was a Republican senator from Utah, and the Republicans then basically stonewalled Garland because they wanted to lie in the weeds till the next election and point their own one. But, you know, you're raising a good point. And I don't think there's anything invidious in Garland. I simply think he's weak. He's an extremely weak individual, and he's frightened. Tom and McFarland, my friend, thanks for calling. We have a minute or two before the break. Tom and McFarland.
Hi, Matt. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can, Tom. Yep.
All right. You know, one of the interesting things I'm finding about the whole debt limit and the 14th Amendment, the very same people who insist that the Constitution must be maintained complete with all commas and punctuation are now saying that, well, that wasn't what the amendment intends. And I think of all that Second Amendment arguments that they say as far as, well, we can't go with what the framers intended. We have to go with what it actually says. And the 14th Amendment, like you pointed out, says the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be questioned. But now we have these people who say that the second is absolutely untouchable are saying the 14th is more of a guideline than an actual amendment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, there's a lot of hypocrisy. They are not strict constructionists. They're strict constructionists for some things. They're strict constructionists for some amendments, but not the First Amendment and not the 14th Amendment. And I'm tired of them. It's all a false, it's kind of a false intellectualism. If you truly were a strict constructionist, you'd read the 14th Amendment and you would pay the bonds of the United States that you authorized to be issued. Just like when you use your credit card. And this is not a simplistic analogy. It's a very precise analogy. You buy it on credit and then you won't pay it. Give me a break. Very good point. Thank you very much. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Because you're mine. I walk the line because you're mine.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Before I go to the lines, I just want to remind everybody of a great promotion this station is doing. Civic Media, very, very proud of our progress. We're all over the state now and we're about to go into some of the final areas. So remember something. Remember this real good. January 26th. That would be Thursday. Today's Tuesday, day after tomorrow. There's going to be a $1 million giveaway just for that day of free radio advertising, professionally produced. Go on civicmedia.us/million, our website, civicmedia.us/million. And there will be an application form and the rules. And the rules are virtually non-existent, ain't many of them. Starts at 9 a.m. January 26th. And put in for it. You can get 20 grand, maybe even more. I forget exactly what the max is. That's a lot of radio, guys. It's a lot of radio. You have a small business or anything you're trying to promote, or you have a buddy in your town or a business you like or somebody that has a nice small business. Make sure that they apply because $1 million worth is going out the door, civicmedia.us/million Thursday, only Thursday, 9 a.m. on January 26th. So definitely be there. Very, very, very great value. Going to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, a Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. The current Republican Party running Congress, which is like, I don't know, 20-25 representatives, they are out to destroy the country as we know it, in my mind. They would just soon get rid of all entitlements, including Social Security, Medicare. I don't even know if they'd want meat inspectors, for goodness sakes. It's just a sad situation. And I think there's a... I think it all roads lead back, and this is really redundant, I guess, but all roads lead to gerrymandering, and we have a chance to change it in this state, and I'm going to say it every day. I hope people realize that. But the current Congress, they're not even Republicans, I don't think, at least not the Republicans I know. So anyway, Supreme Court Justice in the spring of the year. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, Paul, some good points. And I think you're exactly right. And let me tell you something. I think gerrymandering ultimately is the key because gerrymandering, folks, doesn't just apply to gerrymandered state assembly and Senate districts. It also applies to state congressional districts. And I'll give you an example. The first congressional district, which is Racine, Kenosha, Beloit, Janesville. My friend Les Aspin, who passed away 29 years ago, good man, very, very good guy, Democrat, very able guy. He was the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and then he served as Secretary of Defense. Very, very, very excellent congressman. He represented that committee. So why does it have Stile now, this fellow Stile from Janesville, S-T-E-I-L, a Republican who goes along with all the Republican stuff? And that's because they gerrymandered it. And what they did is they got rid of some Democratic areas and they put in some very conservative suburbs in Waukesha and the southern part of Milwaukee County. With fair maps, a Democrat would hold that. That'd be a congressional seat, another congressional seat. My friend Ron Kind had in the third congressional district over in the La Crosse, Eau Claire area, you know, that along the Mississippi River. He held that. He held that from the mid-90s till this year. And gerrymandering, and he held that it was a tough seat, but gerrymandering essentially has made it right now difficult for Democrats to win. If there were fair maps, a guy like Tiffany wouldn't ever get elected in any sane district. You know, now the seventh congressional district. Dave Obey had that from 1969 on to, you know, he retired in 2010. And, you know, we used to have giants in the House in this state. We could flip three seats here with fair maps and get rid of a lot of these, the advantage that McCarthy has. Janet Protasiewicz is running for the Supreme Court. February 21 is the primary. April 4 is the general. And two of her opponents are Republicans, Doro and this Kelly, who like gerrymandering. They'll keep gerrymandering, and they won't certify a Democrat who wins a presidential election in 2024. If you want gerrymandering, vote for them. Otherwise, vote for Janet Protasiewicz. There's one other guy who's sort of floundering, not raising a lot of money, doesn't have a lot of support, and has some issues. And I've described him as having more baggage than the bellhop at the Pfister. We don't need that. We don't need another slime campaign over his stuff. So Janet Protasiewicz, Protasiewicz. Janet Protasiewicz, she's a judge. Very experienced prosecutor, tough and fair, more than 20 years in Milwaukee County, several-term judge, one of the best in the state. The most experienced prosecutor in this field, maybe in the history of the state. You tell me anybody else who is a prosecutor for 26 years. I don't know of anybody. Going to the lines, Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Good afternoon, Matt. Say, you were talking about before about Congress and all the stuff they're doing. We have the biggest criminal Congress we've ever had in the history of the country. And correct me if I'm wrong. Jump in and stop me if I'm saying this wrong. When they took an oath to office, they said they will defend against foreign and domestic terrorism. Well, they didn't defend against domestic terrorism. We all know that. Americans know that. But what happens to the Democrats? Oh, we can't do anything about it. Well, BS, you can do a lot about it. You can start off by saying we're going to censor you guys because we don't need criminals in Congress. They want to start an investigation. The last time they chased their tail in Benghazi, it cost the taxpayers $7 million of them fooling around. Now they're going to start these sham investigations again, having no integrity, being known criminals. We got one of the biggest criminals in the state, Ron Johnson, and he denies it. Well, when you deny it and you deny it in front of the American public, you deny the American public has intelligence. You're basically saying you're not that smart. I am. I'm above the law. I don't have to honor my oath. I don't have to honor laws. I think enough's enough. I'll hang up and hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, those are excellent comments. And you always have them when you call in. Appreciate it very much, Bill. What has gone on? Remember that among this group of sociopaths that are really controlling Kevin McCarthy and the Republican Party, several of them asked for preemptive pardons. Bill, when was the last time you had to ask for a preemptive pardon? Or I did. Never. You want to know why? Because we haven't committed any crimes. You only ask for preemptive pardons of Trump if you're guilty of sin and you're scared of going to prison. So you're absolutely right. You call them criminals. They are criminals. Coming to the end of the show, great show as always. Great callers as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today. Where it will go.